This podcast is proud to be a part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry.com.
Dave. And John is over there. John, turn your mic on. Your mic's turned off.
Oh, it's mine.
That's the reason why I can't hear myself in my headphones.
What's that? Yeah, yours is on. Yours is on.
Okay.
Just lean into it.
We're so technical. It's amazing.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, good morning.
Yeah, I have all these technical people. So, Colleen, it's great to hear from you.
Hey.
We have to start our show, and then we'll talk to you.
Okay.
And we have no idea what we're going to talk to you about.
We have no idea what we're going to ask you, but we're going to we're going to get started here. All right.
Lean in.
Okay.
All right. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hello there. Welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We have a special guest with us today, all the way from some parking lot in Memphis, Tennessee, right?
Nashville,
Tennessee. And, okay, all right, so you're not in Memphis where Elvis is, right? Okay, working in the Burger King.
No,
Nashville. Now, this is Colleen Williamson. Welcome to Theater Geeks.
Hello.
Colleen, how are you?
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Colleen is a friend of ours from our home theater, Elkhart Civic Theater, has performed on our stage numerous times, but not recently.
Our 50th anniversary, she was here, but that was the last time.
Right. Oh, really? Okay. Yes. All right. That's right.
That was the last time, yes.
Yes, but today your job career has been on cruise ships as an entertainer, singer, actress, et cetera. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of what
you
do?
Well, you know what? I just celebrated my 21st anniversary of working on cruise ships. I can't believe it's been that long.
Wow.
Primarily what I've been doing for most of those years is working as part of a production cast, which is very similar to what we did at the Opera House when I was there, just doing lots of musical numbers, production numbers from different musicals. So if you take that and you take like show choir and put it together, that's kind of what I've been doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Only all around the world. That's the
difference. Only all around the world, yeah. on a moving stage. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, so, my gosh. Yeah. So you never know. So like you never know where you're going to wake up. Is that what it boils down to?
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, it's gotten to the point when I first started, of course, the ports of call were one of the most important things to me. And so I'd know months ahead where I was going to be. And now I don't even think about it, honestly, because it's more about just the job and the performing. So I have to get the schedule out and go, oh, where am I going to be? Okay, we're going back there. Okay, cool.
Is there any place you have not been?
Well, any place inland is pretty much where I haven't been.
That's
but
right.
I've touched I've touched all the continents, and I've even been to Greenland and Iceland a few times even. And I've been to Antarctica, and it's incredible. The travel has been absolutely amazing, and that is one of the reasons that I've kept at it as long as I have.
Well, let's plug a little. You, for your book shows, kind of, you are with Crystal Cruises, right? On the Crystal Symphony, in case anybody wants to run out and book a couple of cruises.
I mean, book shows.
Right.
Book shows, you mean like a musical?
Well, they do reviews.
Oh, okay.
You know, but there's a theme. You've been kind of branching out into something that was, as I recall, was kind of your long-range goal for a long time, which is to do your own cabaret show. So you can, in the downtime from Crystal, you go out on other cruise lines and do your cabaret show, correct? And
that
you
is
put
correct.
It together, you select what you want to sing, when you want to sing it. It's got to be the best of both worlds.
It is. You know what? And I'm so lucky because Crystal affords me the opportunity to do that, because I have a year contract, but I'm 3 months on the ship, 3 months off the ship, three on, three off, three on, three off. So during my off time, then I just recently got an agent, I guess about a year and a half ago, and he sends me out then on the other lines for anywhere from 7 days to 2 weeks to go out and do my own show. And I now have two shows. So I go out and I do my solo show. And then if they want me for a longer time or if they need more entertainment, then I have the second show that I could offer them as well. So that was one of my long-term goals. And it's so cool to finally be there with it. Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. After 20, well, we remember that the last time you were actually here in a show was at least 25 years ago. And you sound just as good as you did then. How the hell do you do it? Honestly.
I hang out with people who are half my age.
I see. Yep. But no, you but I mean, usually when you get older, your voice drops and you lose your top notes. And you look, not only do you sound the same way you did, but you look the same way, which is making me really envious.
Well, I'm doing what I love to do. And being in the entertainment industry, it's something that you have to kind of keep an eye on. So, I mean, I was lucky all those years ago. I could eat chocolate cake all day long and not have to think about it. Now I have to think about it, so I do that. I take care of myself. I eat healthy. I go to a dermatologist, you know, blah, 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 and all that crap that you don't want to think about having to do when you're 20, but you do when you're, you know, 50.
Absolutely.
So, I take care of myself, and it's true that I do have all these young dancers around me all the time, so that keeps me on my toes, literally, and I have to just take care of myself and watch what I do, and yeah, that's about it.
You must be very disciplined.
Well,
I've seen some of those buffets on the ship, Colleen, and how you can restrain from grazing at the chocolate buffet, I don't know.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I mean, I have my moments where I say, oh, nuts to this. I'm just going to have that giant piece of fudge-covered chocolate cheesecake with ice cream and everything on it.
Quiet.
But then, you know, 2 days later, you go to put on that costume, and you go, whoops. And that's my job. So I have to do, you know, just like anybody, you have to stay up on what got you hired in the first place.
Okay. Speaking of that, how did you get into doing the cruise ships, really? It's kind of a far cry from Valentine and the Bristol Opera House.
Well,
so how did you get there?
It was because of the Bristol Opera House and because of Michael Cripe, who everybody out there knows. And we were doing, of course, Carnival, which the lovely Marcia directed. Oh, one of my favorite shows ever that I did out there.
Mine too, honey.
And yeah, and Michael and I were cast in that, and he was on hiatus from the ships and talked to me about it and said, well, you should think about working on ships. And I said, oh, really? Do they have singers on ships? I had no clue. And just from talking to him, and then I was back in my little office at my office job a few months later, and he called and said, we have an opening on the Norway. Are you interested? If you are, send your stuff to us immediately. And I did, and they hired me. I don't know why they hired me to this day, because I was as green could be. But, yeah, that's how it all started. It was all because of that show and because of Michael and because of my connections with Elkhart Civic Theater. That's how it started.
And also because you have a lot of talent. That doesn't hurt.
That doesn't hurt, no.
At all.
Well, no, it doesn't hurt, but there's lots of people out there that have heaps of talent, and it seriously is about being in the right place at the right time, and you don't know where that right place is. It could be anywhere.
But it's also,
you know,
about a lot of hard work. I mean, Dee Dee Lovejoy, who's been on this podcast a number of times, you know, has loads of talent, but she has to work very hard, and she has worked very hard. I mean, she's and the big breaks don't come that often, but, you know, without the hard work, they wouldn't have come at all, I don't think. So
that's very true. Yeah. You have to step up to the plate and answer the door when opportunity knocks, and then you've got to prove that you are the right person to be on the other side of that door and answer it. So, have to fight your way through.
And to get where you've been after 21 years, I don't know if you're ever in a comfortable position, but, I mean, I remember you telling stories about, like, eating fish heads, or that was something like that.
Oh, yes, because I've been everything from the lowliest of low crew member to now doing my own show. When I go out, I'm what's considered a headliner or a guest entertainer, and so I'm treated like royalty. So I've gone from one end to the other, and it kind of goes back and forth sometimes depending on where you are. So yeah, you just gotta sit there and go, okay, is this worth it? How bad do I want this? Am I going to eat fish heads for dinner if that's what they're offering? You bet I am, because tomorrow I get to do this great show and sing for my living. So, of course, I'll do it. Yeah.
Did you know, we were talking, and one of the questions we thought of, and then we thought, well, maybe it doesn't matter, but did your time with community theater prepare you other than just making that initial contact with Mike?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if it wasn't for community theater. Even what I trained to do in college, which was a voice performance career, they wanted me to go into grad school and sing opera. And I knew I didn't have the heart and the drive to do that. So I had no idea what I was going to do after college. And so I came back home to LaGrange, and just that's when I started coming over to Civic Theater all the time. And that's where I got all my experience. That's where I learned how to work with people, how to stand in front of an audience, how to hold an audience's attention. And that's, oh my gosh, yeah, everything I am now, I owe to the experience I got at any stage you step foot on. It doesn't matter where the stage is, it's experience. And yeah. Elkhart Civic is why I am where I am today. Absolutely.
Well, that makes us feel better anyway.
That's great.
It really does.
Well, no, it's true. And everybody there played a very large part in it, because everybody there taught me the work ethic and what you have to do and strive for if you want to advance. There have been so many times in a professional situation, and I just did quotations in the air with my fingers, professional situation, where I thought to myself, we do better work at Elkhart Civic than this, because these people don't have the right attitude. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite thing to do? Is it your own like cabaret show, or is it doing the types of musicals that they do?
That's a hard question. I love doing both, and for different reasons. I love being with the cast, because the shows we do there, we're actually doing numbers from musicals, and so I get to do everything from Thoroughly Modern Millie to Evita to Aida. And I have all these amazing, talented dancers around me. And I love being on stage with the cast, with other people, and having that live energy and the reaction from other people. But at the same time, there's nothing better than having your solo show and be standing there and talking to the audience and thinking in your head, my gosh, this is all me. I put all this together. I chose the music. I'm deciding what I say right now. And they're both such thrills. I love them both. And I guess that's why I'm still trying to balance both at the same time.
I see.
Do you also play piano and wonderfully, mm-hmm. and do you, is that part of your solo work that you do?
A tiny little bit. So, I do in one song, I go over and sit down and play a little bit, just basically to, honestly, to have the audience go, oh, something different, something new. She plays the piano too. It's more kind of, I placed it in the show at the point where maybe it's starting to dip a little bit, and that kind of gets them reinvested. So it's kind of a gimmick, honestly.
I just thought maybe that was the one way that you helped yourself, was by being able to accompany yourself in those solo shows, but you get somebody else to do that for you.
Well, oh yeah. Anytime I go to a ship, there's a full band there.
Nice.
And then the day of my show, whatever day they've decided my show is scheduled, I go in, we have a rehearsal, which they decide when that's going to be. It could be at 10 in the morning, or it could be 4 in the afternoon. And I pass out my music, all of my charts that I've had to get done. And we play through everything and have a rehearsal, and the show goes on that night.
So
that's the scariest part of the whole job.
Well,
one rehearsal, though.
In other words, yeah.
One rehearsal.
When you're doing your own show, you're responsible for everything. You just said you pass out the charts that you've had to have made. That's expensive.
Right.
You have to buy your own costumes or gowns. That's expensive.
Right.
So it's not, there's a lot more to it when you're doing it on your own, right?
Right. Absolutely. You've got to have the money to invest in it. And I started very cheap because the very first time I did my own show, and this was on Crystal, because they allowed the singers on Crystal to kind of step out and do their own show if they want to. And so the first time I did that, it was with just a piano player, and it was more of a classical type concert. And so I played with that for a while to see what music really worked. And I had an amazing accompanist, so he was able to sound like a full orchestra when he played. And then I kind of, with that, decided what songs worked, what I really enjoyed singing, what got good audience reaction. And then I invested and got the charts made for the full band so that I could do it with all of the musicians on stage.
How many different cabaret shows are you eventually going to compile, do you think? You said you have two, and I know it takes you a while to put one together.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see what fits with what and, you know, where is it going? So how long does that take to do one? And then what's your goal for, you know, having all of them?
Well, my goal would be to have probably three different ones. And I've got the two that are set now. And I definitely have enough music now that I've accumulated to do probably four different shows. But depending on where I am and how long of a show they want, because sometimes they say 40 minutes, sometimes I say 50, then you have to kind of pull a song out or put another song in. So, but I've got two set shows now. And my third one that I've just started working on, and I'm about halfway done with it, will be more of a 40s big band swing show.
Wow. It's amazing. I think you have the kind of a job that every little kid who's here on our stage would love to have someday. It's amazing.
Well, I was that kid. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes I think, gosh, I wonder if I could go, if my 13-year-old self could see me now, I probably would never believe it.
No.
I wouldn't believe it because I was such a shy, quiet, mousy little thing. And just from knowing that it was what I wanted to do and that it was what I should be doing, I knew it was what I was supposed to be doing. And I just kept fighting for it and coming places like, you know, the Bristol Opera House and getting all the experience I could get to kind of get to this point. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, let's also say that you did go to college and study music. I mean, so just to encourage anybody that wants to do this, not to say, well, they can skip right from high school. Pretty much that it's important to get an education too.
Yeah, well, and there,
absolutely,
well, because there's a business end of it. I mean, there's has nothing to do with the artistic end necessarily.
Yeah,
or is least separate, right?
Absolutely. And what I learned in college helps me every single day. Now that I'm doing my solo show, especially because I have to be able to communicate with those musicians. And when I pass out the music, I have to say, okay, at letter A, at trumpet, I need you to blah, 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 blah. Or, okay, watch the dynamics here because I need you to come way down when I do. You know, I've learned how to communicate with the band and my training to be a musician. And, of course, that started with playing the piano early on. Helps me every single time I step onto that ship. So it's very important to get the education. Very important.
Can I say, is it right that some of your stuff is still on YouTube?
Yeah, my 3-minute reel, like my audition reel, is on YouTube. So if you just type in my full name, Soprano.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's from my solo show.
Yeah, do you have a website as well?
Oh, golly, I don't. And that's one of those things that I'm working on at the moment, and I just haven't got it up yet. I know, bad me.
Oh, well, that's all right. Well, what I was going to say is we'll put links on the show notes for this, and I know how to find some pictures of you, too, to put in the website.
Oh, dear.
The Theater Geeks website. So.
Oh, yeah.
No. We don't want to embarrass you. I will mention one thing. Do you remember, now, well, this has been quite a few years ago, you worked with me and another fellow by the name of Mr. Potuck, and we were doing some stuff in Arizona, some corporate work.
Yes.
And do you remember, and this was preparation for travel. I think you should consider it that, because do you remember running through the old Midway airport because we almost didn't make the plane?
Yes, I do remember that. Absolutely.
They closed the door like behind us as soon as we were through that gate. I remember that, but that's, yes.
So now you have a permanent home that you bought in Nashville, where you go when you're not on the ship. Are you going next? What's your next? Are you going back on Crystal, or are you going to do your cabaret show?
I go back to Crystal on Thursday. I fly to LA and then on to Sydney. The ship is over in that part of the world right now, so okay. I get to fly all the way to Sydney, Australia to meet
just,
the ship.
You
so.
Just, the visual of this would be me turning green.
I was going to say, we're all sitting. That's the last time I talked to her. I said, send pictures. That's the only way we get a chance.
I was going to ask you now, why are you in Nashville? Why aren't you on some coastal area, which is closer to where ships might
she
be,
or it's
just like
you know. When I decided to move to Nashville, it was thinking that okay, I'm getting of a certain age. I'm probably not going to be doing ships much longer. Maybe I'll go to Nashville. There's a lot of music industry there, and maybe I can get in on kind of the production side of it, or start doing some studio work or something. I've been here for 7 years now, and I have yet to even look into that because I'm still so busy doing all the ship stuff. And now doing the guest entertainer stuff as well, that now is where I'm leaning. And I love Nashville. I absolutely love it here. And I'm still close enough to Indiana. I can come home if I need to by getting in the car. But they have a nice big airport, so that's nice for
so
all my coming and going.
That's your connection,
but,
right?
And by the
but
she
I
avoids
love Nashville.
This kind of winter.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's by no the, snow here. If they think they're going to get snow, they close everything before the first flake even falls out of the sky.
Hey, by the way, if you are looking for gowns, go ahead and buy that black gown you posted
That's
on Facebook.
Gorgeous.
If you need them for your concerts, you should just buy it.
You can
can't you write
it
that
off
your taxes?
You know what? I would have to take up a donation to get it, first of all, because it was so ridiculously expensive, you wouldn't even believe it. And heavy! I would have to have a separate suitcase, because that's the
it
other
looks
thing.
Heavy.
Dave, it's funny talking about the running for the gate, because the one thing I have to worry about doing my solo gigs now is I have to make sure I have everything I need to do my show in my carry-on, just in case my suitcase doesn't show up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I have all of my music and whatever dress I'm wearing for the show and, you know, a pair of false eyelashes.
Right.
Carry-on bag. That's in the carry-on bag. So I have to be really careful about what, you know, I'm wearing in the show, and that dress wouldn't cut it.
There you go. Life of entertainer. Yeah, have false eyelashes, will travel.
Oh. There you go.
That's
there
right.
You go. There you go.
I hope you're Last taking notes for your book later on. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Well, it's been
no
great.
No one would believe it.
It's been great talking to you. It. We're really glad that you were able to join us. And I know.
Well,
that
I'm honored that you asked me. My God.
Well, you've got something coming up here, but it's just wonderful to have you on, and we should do it again.
Yes,
absolutely.
And Dee and I are
it.
Still checking Crystal for anything that we might be able to afford to come on a cruise with you.
There you go. CrystalCruises.com. Check it out.
I'd like for you to, maybe what you should do sometime is come on and tell your horror stories about, I know you have one specifically about Meet Me in St. Louis that I think the audiences would really get a kick out of. So.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was, yeah.
Just take
I've
notes.
Got lots of
take
really
notes
good
and,
bad stories.
You know, we'll have you back and that's what you can do. Tell us your horror stories.
There you go.
Or good stories, too. That's
it.
All good.
Yes. Okay. I will do it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us, and we will see you
on the
water.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
Well, thank you to all of you and everybody out there that does community theater. Just keep doing it. It's the best experience you'll ever, ever get.
Okay.
Thank you, honey.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that pretty well wraps us up today for this episode of Theater Geeks. And We just want to remind you to stop by the Theater Geek store where you can buy all the hats, cups, mugs, and all kinds of stuff, including Marcia's favorite.
Coffee mugs,
okay. And for how many cups of coffee do you drink in your coffee mug every day?
At least two, but they're big, giant mugs.
They're
big, giant mugs.
So it's like for any ordinary human, that would be six cups, right?
About.
That's where you go. Okay. And so just go to theatergeeks.com/store. Also, remember that you can pick us up on Stitcher, Smart Radio. You can pick us up at, TuneIn Radio. And we are also on the Blueberry Network, iTunes, every other place. Please subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. Anybody else got anything to say here?
No, it was just really nice to talk to Colleen and vision her sailing around the warmer waters while we're here freezing our butts off.
That's right.
Look at 10-foot tall snowdrifts around here.
Yes, yeah, so our last couple of episodes, we thought maybe that was going to be the only time it was going to be this cold and it was going to kind of start to warm up. But it just will not quit. But so anyway, so it is. We just did a show here at our theater called Almost Maine. Maine didn't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
It's still here.
That's it from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schell.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.